This hearing of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee will now come to order. It is now 1:31 p.m. Thursday, February 23rd, 2003 in Belts 105. Members present are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Giesel, and myself, Senator Dunbar, Chair. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Thank you. Before we begin, I would like to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Community Regional Affairs Recording Secretary, and Zach Lawhorn from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee today. We have one item on the agenda today, which is an introductory hearing on SB 63, Limitations on Firearms Restrictions by Senator Kawasaki. We will also have invited testimony from the following. Abaheen Klein, the NRA legislative liaison, is on the phone. We have Lisa Purinton from the Department of Public Safety, Criminal Records Division here, I believe. Yes. Also on the phone, we have Captain Cornelius Sims, from the Alaska State Troopers, and Marshall Harvin. Let me double check. They're actually on. Don't actually see them online, but we might have a Marshall Harvin from the Department of Law later. All right. Senator Kawasaki, would you and your staff please come forward and put yourself on the record and introduce the bill? We'll pause here just a second. We've also been joined for the record, Senator Bjorkman.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, Scott Kawasaki, I represent District P in the State Senate, representing Fairbanks, Fort Wainwright, and Badger Road area. I'm here to briefly introduce Senate Bill 63 relating to firearms and weapon restrictions within the state of Alaska. And my co-worker Joe Hayes will be able to run you through a sectional if you would like. So the Second Amendment is a tried and true right that's honored in the state of Alaska. Particularly in Alaska, we have a strong belief in individualism and the right to bear arms. During the recent state emergency declaration, cannabis shops, alcohol dispensing stores were deemed essential and therefore allowed to remain open, but gun shops were not. With this legislation, we will recognize gun stores as also essential. In recent years, Idaho, Kansas, Louisiana, Montana, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota, Texas, West Virginia, and Wyoming passed emergency power laws, and for good reason. Temporarily closing gun stores could give rise to a variety of safety and law enforcement concerns. Just a couple examples I wanted to throw out there that closing gun stores might hinder law enforcement, specifically at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, when it comes to tracing firearms recovered in crimes. Under current federal law, dealers are required to keep retail sales records of those gun transactions and dealerships, and the ATF relies on these paper forms at a physical store when they trace guns recovered at crime scenes. If gun stores are closed, the ATF's ability to examine their paperwork is slowed and could delay law enforcement's ability to trace guns and solve crimes. Now, second, closing gun stores may divert firearm buyers to the black market and undermine background check systems. While brick-and-mortar gun dealers must conduct background checks on would-be gun owners in much of the country and in Alaska, private sellers are not required to run background checks. Closing these regulated, well-regulated licensed gun dealers is likely to drive more buyers to potentially an unregulated market where felons, domestic abusers, people who probably shouldn't own guns can avoid those background checks and obtain guns. To the extent Americans want to buy guns, it's preferable that they obtain one from a reputable dealer, of which in Alaska there are many. Third, closing gun stores may lead to more Americans to purchase parts and kits that they need to build their own in a do-it-yourself sort of style from online retailers, again, with no background checks. Do-it-yourself gun kits are available. You've heard of the term probably ghost guns. Which are so named because of the lack of serial numbers, the inability to be able to track those particular firearms in the case of those recovered at a crime scene. Let's see. Finally, closed gun stores may be a target for break-ins and theft, a growing concern in the national arena even before COVID-19 outbreaks. Recent years, we've seen huge increases in the number of high-volume robberies from gun stores, and we could see an increase if gun stores are closed during certain times. Again, the right to keep and bear arms is the right that we as Alaskans really do hold sacred. Making sure the right is recognized as essential during, especially an emergency declaration, is the right policy call to make for this committee. I did want to mention that even though this is the 33rd legislature, the 32nd, and the Senate overwhelmingly supported this bill and passed, it passed the Senate and was locked in the House on the last day of session, just was not able to pass. Thank you very much for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions, and also I have Joe Hayes here for any technical questions regarding the content of the bill.
Don't see any questions. Thank you. Mr. Hayes, would you please put yourself on the record? And I should say that the system here reminded me, former Representative Hayes, please put yourself on the record and present the sectional.
Thank you, Chair, committee members. Thank you. My name is Joe Hayes, staff to Senator Kawasaki. I'm going to do a brief overview on the sectional analysis. So on Section 1, page 1 through 3, lines 4 through 1, it amends AS 4499, adding new sections to Article 5. And Section 2, page 3, line 2, repeals AS 44.99.500G-1.
Is that it?
Very sweet.
Any questions for Mr. Hayes?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Senator Giesel.
So tell me what the repeal is. Repeals 4499.500G-1. What is that?
Okay. Through the chair, Senator Giesel, if I may have my friend for public safety might be able to answer that question.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. If you don't mind putting yourself on the record.
Through the chair, for the record, my name is Lisa Purinton, Alaska Department of Public Safety. I'm the Criminal Records and Identification Bureau Chief. My office manages the concealed carry permits. So just give me 1 second while I look at my statute book here. just to clarify what's being repealed. Going to be in the other titles. Thank you. Because I'm like, yes, ma'am.
I think we have a. Isn't it listed in the sectional?
See the repealer?
Mm-hmm.
Repealers are important.
No, I know. I'm saying, is that not what? I thought this was the language of what they were repealing. Oh, okay. I got it. Okay. I thought they included it.
It was important to check the repealers.
Yep.
It's going to be one of those. It's going to be the very last page of the book.
Probably so, yes. 900 or 500G, it must be a definition.
Okay, I'm back on the record. Yes, that looks. It is appealing. The definitions for firearm accessory and the generic and insignificant parts of a weapon, which is including springs, screws, nuts, and pins, and the term manufactured, where it means a firearm accessory or ammunition that has been created from basic materials for functional usefulness, including forging, casting, machining, or other processes for working materials.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a follow-up from that. Oh, sorry. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, but I can wait until you do your follow-up.
Well, I guess that sort of raises for me, I understand the broad purpose of this for emergencies. I don't quite understand how the repealer relates to that. Could you or the sponsor sort of describe in a little more detail why that's necessary to achieve the goal of preventing confiscation during an emergency?
Through the chair, Senator Dunbar, there's a new section 4499.520 which has new definitions, which is correct, will take the place of the repealer definitions.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, just for the record, I think he's referring to page 2, lines 27 through page 3, line 1, just for the public that's listening, defining firearm and firearm accessory.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I have a couple of questions. Thank you for your presentation, by the way. So does Senate Bill 63 create a private right of action where individual officers, National Guardsmen, and aid workers could be sued for simply doing their job to protect the public?
Through the chair, Representative Gray Jackson, I guess, what was your question? I'm sorry.
That's okay. So maybe I'm not being clear, and I'll try again. Does Senate Bill 63 create a private right of action where individual officers, National Guardsmen, or aid workers could be sued for doing their jobs to protect public safety?
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, well, my thought would be that the if emergency declaration was called upon, I guess I'm trying to understand what they would be able to be sued for if, with this legislation, we're going to allow for gun stores to be recognized the same as cannabis stores, same as alcohol dispensing stores. So I'm not exactly sure if that was the case, why would they? I guess I'm not understanding.
Okay, so maybe I'm not understanding it either. But I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, can I follow up?
Yes, please.
Can we just have this conversation offline so that both of us are clear on the question that I'm asking and then answering, and then we can share it with the response with everybody else? I would prefer to do that if it's all right, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr.
Jackson.
Chairman. May I ask my next question, Mr. Chairman?
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Kawasaki, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the question, Senator Gray Jackson. So under Title 26, which is the Alaska Disaster Declaration Act, a governor can do certain things to enforce what he sees or what he or she sees is perceived as an emergency. What we're stating very specifically in this law would be that the governor would not be able to adopt orders, proclamations, regulations, or would not be able to issue those that are would compromise an ability to open or keep open, maintain open a gun store, a store that sells firearms and firearm accessories. So if it were in the case of a law enforcement officer, a police officer, state trooper, they would be following the governor's order. And again, if this law were to pass, the governor would not be able to enable an order that prevented the opening.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, can I ask my next question?
Yes, Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So on page 2, way down the bottom of the page, D1, where it talks about the damages. So I understand the damages, but why punitive and why in the amount that's 3 times the fees?
So through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, so treble damages are pretty specific part of law where it's triple the actual cost. And it probably would be better to direct that question toward the Department of Law, but we wanted to have a very specific penalty in place so that if a plaintiff were to bring suit against or action against the state in particular, they would be able to collect damages on that. And again, treble damages is fairly, I don't know if there's an attorney that wants to talk about treble damages, but it might be better from them.
Senator Jackson, we do have Marshall Harmon from the Department of Law online. Would you like to ask them that question? Or?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your response, Senator Kawasaki. And if you'd like to weigh in, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Harbin, are you there? I see Marshall Harbin.
Yes, hello.
Oh, there we go. Did you hear Senator Gray Jackson's question?
I did hear the question. I would just note, because it may be helpful, there is actually a provision already in the Alaska Disasters Act, which essentially says that if a government official is convicted of official misconduct or interference with constitutional rights as a result of attempting to confiscate a firearm during a disaster emergency, they can be subject to impeachment and they can forfeit any appointed government position. So it's not directly on point, but I just wanted to note that in case that was helpful for the context of the bill. I don't have a ton, and I would just also note that in regards to, you know, private cause of action, we've seen it, like, for example, a lot of this movement began during Katrina, actually, and there was a big declaratory judgment suit to essentially, you know, require the state to return the guns to the gun owners because the law enforcement in New Orleans had taken a lot of individuals' firearms. So, like, for example, in a situation like that, it wouldn't be a you know, you would still have attorney's fees, even though you're not, you know, suing an individual, if that makes sense. So I don't have a ton to add about the treble damages. I could get back to you with, I don't know, some clarification. But it is, I mean, treble damages is, yeah, something that is, you know, a legal principle, but, you know, as it applies to this law, I just haven't, you know, I don't have much to add, not being involved in, you know, the development of the bill, but I can get back to you if, I don't know, some sort of clarification from the Department of Law would help.
Thank you. That would be fine. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And I have a follow-up question then for you, Mr. Harbin. Is it your interpretation or the Department of Law's interpretation as well that only the governor would be subject to this private right of action, or could some, you know, lower level official or frontline worker like a police officer be sued under this cause of action?
Through the chair, I can get back to you. I don't really want to make a statement about that without having conferred, you know, with others, because I don't want to, you know, give an off-the-cuff statement. Just from my reading of the bill, I mean, it seems to me that it wouldn't, like, the intent of the bill is to avoid, you know, an individual liability situation, since it's prohibiting, you know, you would have to have some sort of order, proclamation, or regulation, or policy for someone to be acting on that, if that makes sense. And so this bill, the way I'm reading it, it prevents the governor or, you know, subdivision of the state from issuing something that would lead to an individual, you know, having the authority to seize a firearm. So I don't know if that makes sense, but so I can get back to you about, you know, assuming there was some hypothetical situation where an individual was acting, if there is individual liability. But the way I read the law was, you know, the intent is really to avoid it even getting to that point.
Thank you, Mr. Harmon. Yeah, I think that that analysis would be really appreciated by certainly by my colleague and myself. And I'll say also, I would like to hear a little bit about whether in this kind of law in general is injunctive relief or specific performance more a typical sort of remedy versus treble damages, you know? And if it is treble damages, is it the governor in a personal capacity that has to pay that? I mean, it seems like it would be the government as a whole, but I'd like to have some of that more some of that analysis too, if you would.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Senator Giesel.
Sure. Senator Kosaki, did you get a legal memo with this bill?
I'm watching my coworker who shook his head no. We did not get a legal memo from about this bill.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Hayes.
Through the chair to the committee, we have invited a testifier who might be able to shed some light on some of the questions.
Excellent. Are there any other questions for Mr. Hayes or Senator Kawasaki before we go to our invited testimony? All right. Not seeing anything. Let's see here. Next, we have invited testimony from Ms. Klein. Would you please put yourself on the record and provide your testimony?
Thank you, and good afternoon, Chair Dunbar, honorable members of the committee. For the record, my name is Avine Klein, State Director for the NRA. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of Senate Bill 36 on behalf of the NRA's tens of thousands of members in Alaska. Senate Bill 36 protects Alaskans' constitutional rights to keep and bear arms from government infringement during emergency disaster declarations. Senate Bill 36 prevents state and municipalities from acting under the color of a disaster emergency declaration to arbitrarily infringe on Alaskans' rights to keep and bear arms. This bill also avoids improperly placing the burden of proof on a business owner to establish that their firearms business is critical or essential in an emergency. At the core of the Second Amendment is the right to self-defense. The importance of this right is elevated in times of chaos, uncertainty, and emergency. Alaskans must be able to access firearms, ammunition, shooting ranges, and other essential firearms-related businesses during these times of emergency. Senate Bill 36 provides a thoughtful and effective approach to balance Second Amendment rights and local control. In recent years, the NRA has worked with 10 states to implement or expand emergency powers protections similar to Senate Bill 36. Damages are a deterrent. Violation of an individual's fundamental rights in violation of the Constitution or Alaska state law, should Senate Bill 36 pass, deserves strong legal recourse. I respectfully request your support of Senate Bill 36. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Gray Jackson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you so much for your testimony, but just so that nobody gets confused, it's Senate Bill 63, not Senate Bill 36. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Any other questions for Ms. Klein? Okay. Thank you. I'm not seeing any. Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Klein. Do committee members have any questions for Captain Sims, Ms. Purinton, or Mr. Harvin before we move on to public testimony? Okay, not seeing any. So, let's see here. I guess I'll open public testimony. That's what we do in the assembly. Hopefully that's what we do here too. We'll start with the folks in the room, and then we'll go to the phone. We have two people. We have quite a lot of people on the phone. So we're going to do a minute and a half. And so we'll start with Marion Clough, okay? If you don't mind coming forward and identifying yourself for the record. And we'll have a minute 30.
Thank you, Honorable Senator Dunbar and members of the committee of Senate Community and Regional Affairs. I am Marion Clough of Auk Bay, Alaska, and I'm representing myself. I'm a mom of four children who live in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau, and four grandchildren. I support a citizen's right to bear arms. This bill is not about protecting gun ownership. It's about giving special privileges to gun dealers. Also, it invites needless expense and distracting legal battles. So I submitted written testimony, and this is the Reader's Digest version of this. Government is supposed to protect citizens in disasters. How does guaranteeing that gun stores and ranges remain open help to deal with fires, tsunamis, landslides, floods, or volcanic eruptions? In the event of armed riots, should our laws guarantee gun stores be open for the rioters? SB 63 would mandate that unlike every other type of profession, business or gathering, gun shops and gun ranges remain unregulated. This makes no sense. Are cannabis and liquor stores mandated to stay open, or is it taking a power away from the governor? There's no discussion in here about seizing firearms. It's about the opening or mandating the opening of gun ranges and shops. SB 63 incentivizes politically motivated individuals and interest groups to enforce the law through private lawsuits. Law enforcement should be left to the Department of Law. Is their job.
Thank you, Ms.
Triple attorney's fees. I wondered if there were other laws that required that.
Thank you. Your time has expired. Do you have a final thought, perhaps?
Just please ensure that our state and municipal agencies have the ability to respond to disasters unencumbered by the political agendas of interest groups.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we have John Sonnen, also representing himself. If you please come forward and put yourself on the record, you have a minute 30.
Thank you, Chair and Committee, for taking my testimony. I'm John Sonnen. I live over on Douglas Island here, across the pond. I am a little confused, too, now, listening to the argument, however, put forward by Senator Kawasaki. I think that the misgivings he has about being able to legally obtain and then be traced in that obtainment of a firearm would be of less priority than the natural aptitude for many less than socially conscious and less than humanly, maybe someone like Senator Eastman's, or hate to put it, I'm sorry, but anthropomorphic almost, or misanthropomorphic belief that children are of less, or can be put a monetary value on. You can't do that with people in the emergency purchasing firearms or ammunition for their firearm. And that is probably a bigger issue here, being able to obtain the ammunition to be misanthropic. I think that in emergency declaration, the priority should be on safety that is authorized safety.
Thank you, Mr. Sonnen. Your time is up. Do you have any final thought?
Simply that the last shop that needs to be open in the emergency is a gun shop. We should be focused on the central kitchen, feeding people.
Thank you.
Ensuring safety and security.
Thank you, Mr. Sonnen. Do you want to ask a question?
Could I just ask one clarifying question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So are you for or against the bill, just to clarify?
I think I'm against it because, okay. Yes.
Thank you.
The way it was read, the way I read it, at least.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Diesel. All right, next we will go to the phones, and I'm just going to go down the list here. We'll start with Ms. Ann Gifford of Juneau. Ms. Gifford, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You have a minute 30. Please begin.
Okay, I'll do the best I can. I'm a retired attorney from Juneau. I'm here on my own testifying to oppose SB 63. And I've sent you longer written comments, but I think the point I want to emphasize is that the concept behind the bill is just fundamentally flawed. The sponsor statements talk about it being all about keeping gun stores open, but the bill is much broader than that, and it would prohibit the governor from and other officials from any kind of policy or order that does anything to forbid possession or use of firearms during an emergency, among other things. And, you know, restrictions on firearms in an emergency are those happen all the time, and they are the types of reasonable place and time restrictions on guns that are almost universally considered constitutional. And I don't think we want to tie our governor's or local officials' hands in an emergency when we know that there are times when you have to restrict access to certain areas to keep people safe, to do things like prevent theft. And in a disaster, there's going to be need to do things like set up temporary shelters, set up field hospitals, and those are the kind of places where you'd want to restrict guns. There are other situations where you might need to restrict guns to prevent looting, and really is no different from restricting somebody's ability to drive a car in a restricted area.
Ms. Gifford, your time has expired, but maybe if you wanted to have one last thought.
Well, my closing thought is simply that it's really no different from restricting people's ability to drive in a damaged area. Sometimes we need to do those kinds of things to keep people safe, to keep the people themselves safe, and to keep everybody else safe. And you know, restricting somebody's ability to carry or use a gun is the same kind of thing.
Thank you, Ms.
So I ask you not to make it impossible for our leaders to respond effectively in an emergency.
Thank you. And I'll say also that if individuals have additional comments or prefer, they could send written comments to my office or to the committee, and we will make sure that those are distributed to all members of the committee. And indeed, there have been a number of emails that have come in that we have distributed. Next, we have Ms. Tamara Roselius from Fairbanks.
Hi, I'm testifying in opposition to SB 63 for myself as a mom in a gun-owning family and for the Alaska chapter of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense, which is growing hugely, by the way. I find this bill goes too far, and I'll explain why. What Senator Kawasaki didn't say is this body deciding who can take guns where and when during an emergency with overcrowded shelters and under conditions we haven't imagined. That is better left to trained professionals and local, municipal, state officials and agencies. Because we all know what matters most in an emergency is an immediate response on the ground locally reacting to existing conditions. We put our trust in elected officials to do their jobs in our day-to-day Alaskan lives and to public safety agencies. We need trust in them even more during emergencies. These situations are why we even have emergency management. We trust them and elect them because they are tasked to protect public safety, trained. I have a nephew trained in emergency management in Alaska, and it took years of training this body hasn't received. To put the Senate's politics above trained public safety professionals during emergency management is asking for trouble. This goes too far, but it's also unnecessary because constitutional limits on state authority and our guaranteed rights under Section 19 remain in full effect during an emergency. They already exist. Furthermore, adding penalties of triple damages and private action against public safety officers is unnecessarily excessive, considering Department of Law's statement of existing penalties against elected officials. In conclusion, our guaranteed right to own guns is not threatened by an emergency, but we would undoubtedly be threatened by taking public safety out of the hands of trained emergency safety personnel and putting it in the hands of this legislature. For these reasons, I urge this committee not to move this bill on. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Brazilius. Next, we have Ms. Rochelle Parker from the Alaska Chapter of Moms Demand Action in Anchorage. Ms. Parker?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Rochelle Parker, and I'm testifying with the Alaska Chapter of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense today because I strongly oppose Senate Bill 63. To me, it does not make any sense to restrict the government's ability to make decisions in the interest of public safety in a disaster situation when there are so many unknowns to consider. And like Sin said, if a significant earthquake were to happen, for example, and people were being housed in mass shelters that were run by the military, the Red Cross or the government, it would not make any sense to prohibit state or municipal leadership from regulating firearms within those shelters. In disaster situations, people can behave irrationally, and certain measures might be necessary to prevent theft or violence. And in addition, this bill is an unnecessary broadening of Alaska's preemption law that already prevents local authorities from overriding state policy on firearms. And as a mother of young children here in Anchorage, I wish the state legislature would quit wasting time on this bill and focus instead on more pressing issues like how to better fund our public schools. That should be the main focus, and how to prevent gun violence and gun suicide in our communities. So I oppose this bill, and I thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Let's see here. I can see this. Okay. Next, we will have Luann McVeigh from Alaska Chapter of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in Juneau. Ms. McVeigh, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon, Chair Dunbar, Vice Chair Olson, and Senators Gray, Jackson, Bjorkman, and Giegel. I'm testifying as a volunteer with the Alaska Chapter of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense. I am opposed to SB 63, and I urge you not to allow this potentially harmful bill to pass out of committee. I can't understand the reasoning behind prohibiting the governor, a state agency, or a municipality from taking action during a declared disaster emergency that would restrict the possession, use, or sale of a firearm accessory, ammunition, or other weapon, including not allowing the temporary closure of gun stores or gun ranges during a declared disaster. During such an emergency, emotions tend to run hot, and our leaders might need to restrict gun sales or use in order to limit the chaos that can erupt when angry people have easy access to firearms. I believe in the ability of our leaders to decide when such limits are necessary. Please don't take away a tool that could be used for constructive purposes to disarm those who might cause harm to others. Guns aren't the answer to human strife, especially during a declared disaster emergency. Please prevent this bill from passing out of your committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McVeigh. Don't see any questions. We will now go to Antonia Leonard from Wasilla.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Ms. Leonard?
Yes, this is Antonia Leonard, through the chair. I can't say for sure if I'm for or against this Senate bill right now because I haven't had a chance to really understand it. I feel like a lot of people maybe not as well. But I've heard a lot of kind of one-sided opinions on it, and I'd just like to pose another scenario. Judging probably the majority of people that don't like gun rights and, you know, that kind of thing probably didn't vote for Dunleavy, but in the event that our governor down the road or any other time wanted to, during a declaration of you know, emergency, wanted to send the troops and the cops and government officials to come and take your children away or take you off your land and put you on a train, for God's sakes, you want to have a gun around, okay? So I'm just saying that. I personally do not own guns. I don't really like guns, but I know a lot of people with guns, and, you know, it's a touchy subject, so let's just calm down and let's just really understand this bill first and maybe listen to both and all sides of the story, okay? Because tensions are rising in the earth, and I know I'm with everybody else. You can hear it in our voices, okay? You just look out for your neighbor. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ms. Leonard. So there is another. Is that person there? There's. Okay, so the other person has left. So I think that is all the testimony we have at this time. Is there anyone else in the room? Okay. Not seeing anyone, so we'll close public testimony at this time. We will now hold this bill over for further consideration. My staff will be in touch about our next hearing and next steps. So with that, is there any other questions or comments from members of the committee? Okay, not seeing any. The time is, let's see, where's the exact? It's 2:11, and this hearing of the Senate Community Regional Affairs Committee is now adjourned.